Bekudah Sicha is Chelek HaBeis, the Sicha on Lag BaOmer, a summary of the Sicha. In regards to the reason why Lag BaOmer is such a great day of joy, day of Simcha, of celebration, of the many reasons that are given, two of them are the students of Rabbi Akiva that the Gemara says they died between Pesach and Shavuos. They started dying after Pesach time, and it went on toward Shavuos, and they stopped on Lag BaOmer. So they stopped dying. That was a reason for celebration. The other answer is because it's the yard site of the Rashbi. Rav Shimon ben Yochai was one of the students of Rabbi Akiva, in fact. So since everything in Torah is so integrally connected, so two reasons for one day of celebration must be connected to each other as well. The two reasons must be connected, the two stories. And if you think about it, they seem to be contradictory, because Rashbi was one of the five remaining students of Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 died, and five remained. Rashbi was one of them. And it was these five students that established Torah after Rabbi Akiva. So if the celebration is that the students stopped dying and these five remained alive, so Rashbi's dying is the exact opposite of the first reason. The first reason is five remained, and then that one also, one of those died also, so they seem to be contradictory. But that can be answered, because we know that the day of Istalkos, the day that a big tzaddik passes away, is a day when all of his life's work reaches its high point. The crescendo of his whole life happens on his Yom Istalkos, because that's the day that he passes away. Means his complete avodah in this world is finished, is done. He's achieved everything that he needed to. And since the life of a tzaddik is his avodah Hashem, not his physical life, so therefore the day of his passing is the high point of his life. It's the greatest day of his life. And therefore, it makes sense that the greatest day of Rashbi's life is on the day that the students stopped dying and he remained alive, they both go in the same direction. But still, why is it Dafke Rashbi that his Yahrzeit is on Lag BaOmer and not any of the other four students? So that needs to be understood. So in order to understand that, we have to understand about the story of the students of Rabbi Akiva. There were 24,000 students that died during this period, and the reason that is given is called Zleinogu Kovet Zelozet. They did not treat each other with proper respect. So this is astonishing. These were the students of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's teaching that everybody knows and everybody relates to is V'ahavta l'reicha kamecha, that the mitzvah of loving every single Jew like yourself, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, is the foundation of Torah. It's the great rule of Torah, the way he puts it. So these were students, which the Torah Semeh, the true Torah, calls them students, which means they're worthy of being called students of Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because they connected to the teachings that he was teaching. That's why they're called students. How could they practice such disrespect for each other that it brought about their death? That's the big teaching of their Rebbe, and they didn't follow through. They didn't practice that teaching. So one of the explanations is that each one of the students, because everybody is an individual and thinks differently, no two minds are alike, so therefore they each channeled Rabbi Akiva's teachings in the way that they lived their life. So one person was very big on love of Hashem. Another student could have been very big on reverence of Hashem. Those are not the same thing. They're a different path in life. And each one took the teachings of Rabbi Akiva and channeled it into the path that he was living. Now, since they were people of truth, so they saw that this is the right way of practicing the teachings of Rabbi Akiva. Each one saw it in their way. And because they loved each other, because Rabbi Akiva taught that they should love each other, which is the main foundation of Torah, so they wanted to share that path of life with all of their friends, with all the other students. But the other students didn't necessarily accept it from them, because he had his own, he saw it in a different way. So therefore, how could one respect somebody who's a person of truth? How could he respect someone that seems to be missing the point of what Rabbi Akiva is teaching? So therefore, they couldn't see themselves respecting each other truthfully. They could pretend to respect each other, but it wouldn't be the truth. So therefore, they expressed themselves in the way that they felt was true. And therefore, their love for each other caused them to not be able to accept their friend's rejection of what he saw as the true teaching of Rabbi Akiva. And even this attitude is really something they learned from Rabbi Akiva. How did they learn it from Rabbi Akiva? We know that Rabbi Akiva said, all my life I was looking forward to the day that I would be able to practice, put into practice, actual practice, Mesiras Nefesh, dying for the sake of Hashem. In the end, of course, he did die that way. The Romans killed him in a very gruesome way. Now, the idea of Mesiras Nefesh, which comes from deep within the soul, when it is revealed, when it comes out from the depth of the soul and it permeates the person, there's no part of the person, there's no part of what that person is doing and experiencing that is outside the realm of that Mesiras Nefesh. It completely takes over everything. So that's what they learned from their teacher. Mesiras Nefesh is what it's all about. So everything came from deep within their soul in a way of Mesiras Nefesh. So therefore, how could anything else other than what I am experiencing now in their path towards Mesiras Nefesh, how could anything else be included into that? So therefore, they couldn't absorb another person's type of Avodah into their experience. It was impossible for them. Or I don't know if impossible, but it was very difficult for them. And therefore, because of what they learned from Rabbi Akiva, it's all about Mesiras Nefesh, and they were channeling it in the way that they understood life. So therefore, they couldn't really bring in something which is not as foreign to that Mesiras Nefesh, because it isn't of what that their Mesiras Nefesh is experiencing. But as great as that is, you know, the reason for why they made the mistake of not respecting each other comes from a very high place. But since ultimately it's not the point of life, it's not the purpose of life, Mesiras Nefesh causes a person, drives a person to leave the physical reality. He wants to get closer and closer and closer to Hashem until his existence is no longer important. He loses his existence, becomes absorbed into the greater existence of Hashem. That's a great thing, but it's only for the benefit of that person. Hashem he's not looking for that in the end. What he wants is that everybody should be able to come back to reality, back into the real world, because the purpose of creation is to uplift the world, not to uplift yourself. And therefore, it must have what's called a shuv, which means coming back down to reality. And this could be what our sages mean when they said about the students of Rabbi Akiva, they all died because they didn't behave respectfully to each other. And they conclude that by saying, and the world was desolate. What does that mean, the world was desolate? The world was desolate. The heavens rejoiced. 24,000 students, new souls, which had left the world and become absorbed into the greater reality of their world. But the world was left without anybody to tend to it. There were only 5 people left. The world was a desert. What about the other 5 students? They also practiced Mesiras Nefesh. Rabbi Akiva taught them well, better even, because they practiced Mesiras Nefesh in the way that Rabbi Akiva practiced Mesiras Nefesh, which was, the Gemara tells us a story that there were 4 scholars that entered into the Pardes, which means they took a stroll into the spiritual reality. Now that's a dangerous place to be if you don't know how to take it. And in fact, of those 4, one of them died outright because he was overwhelmed by it. One of them went crazy, and one of them became an apostate. He left Judaism. Rabbi Akiva, nichnas v'sholom yatzav v'sholom. He entered in peace and he came out in peace. The question is asked, what do you mean he entered in peace? What about the other ones? The answer is, Rabbi Akiva, his approach to the whole project was, yes, we want to go in there, but we have to make sure that we can get out in peace. Which means, when you go there, they were all ready for the Rotzi, for getting, you know, this spiritual experience. Rabbi Akiva said, we have to keep our minds and our faculties. We have to make sure that we don't get too absorbed in it and not be able to come back. And that's why he came back. That's why he returned to the world, because he knew that the real purpose is to bring all that energy into the world and that it should help you to elevate the world. And these five students, including Rashbi, they also practiced the same. They were people of Mesiras Nefesh, but only in a way that it was that they can come back to reality to make it work in the real world. And this could be the reason why Lag BaOmer comes out on the 18th of Iyar. We know what our Rabbeim said about Chai Elul. Chai Elul is the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov and the birthday of the Alter Rebbe. And the Rabbeim said that Chai Elul, which means the life of Elul, Yud Ches, you know, Chai, as everybody knows, brings life into the Avodah of Elul. It enlivens, it energizes the work, the Avodah of Elul. In a similar way, Chai Iyar enlivens, energizes the work, Avodah of Iyar. What does that mean? It means Nisan is known as the month of Chesed, because it's the first month. Chesed is the first of the Midas. Iyar is the month of Gvura, discipline, because it's the second month. What's the difference between Chesed and Gvura? Chesed means Hashem gives everything from top down, everything comes down, given to you. Iyar Gvura means you have to work within yourself. You have to elevate yourself, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, put in your own effort in order to make it work. So Iyar means Ratzo. You work and you strive to get higher and to get more spiritual and to grow in your dedication to Hashem. So Lag BaOmer, Rashbi teaches, and also the students of Rebbe Kiva, in a way that we understand that that is not the way to go, that the way to have Ratzo is, it has to be done in an energizes the Ratzoi, meaning to say it teaches that you need to make sure that you enter into Ratzoi only in a way that you can come back and realize and recognize that the real purpose is to heal the world and elevate the world and so on. That's the real purpose of the Ratzoi. And that is also, we see this in the Aveda of Rashbi himself. We know that Rashbi and his son spent 13 years in a cave because they had to run away from the Romans. In that cave, they lived more of a spiritual life than a material life, meaning to say, even the mitzvahs that they had to do, they couldn't do it in a material way, because where did they get a lulav and esrog? In that cave, and so on, and as well as other mitzvahs. So they practiced those mitzvahs in a spiritual way. Rashbi was the expert on being able to understand what a lulav represents and what an esrog represents, and he did all those things in the spiritual realm, but not in the physical realm. He couldn't do it, so he lived a life of Ratzi in the cave. But when he left the cave, he didn't go into isolation, because that's a beautiful life where you don't have to deal with people and physical things. I'll just continue to live a spiritual life. No, he came out of the cave, where the Gemara tells that his son, Rabbi Elazar, when he saw somebody plowing the field, he looked at him. How could he be busy with this? Why isn't he learning Torah? And he, by his looking at him, he burnt him, he just exploded into flames. Out of Rabbi Elazar's frustration, that person exploded into flames. His father, Rashbi, fixed whatever Rabbi Elazar destroyed. He understood the importance of plowing a field, living in the real world, and so on. He fixed it all. In fact, Rashbi put out a call. Anyone that needs anything to be fixed, I'm ready to help out. He saw the value of making things work in the physical world, even though he had lived a 13-year life of complete spiritual existence. And all this was really Rashbi expressing the teachings of Rabbi Akiva, as he told his students, study my teachings, because my teachings are all based on Rabbi Akiva's teachings, and I have analyzed and refined and distilled all of Rabbi Akiva's teachings into the best of the best. When you learn my Torah, you are getting Rabbi Akiva's best. And in the end, the Gemara tells us that before he went into the cave, he would ask a question, Rav Shimon Yochai, and Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who is either his son-in-law or his father-in-law, would answer 12 answers to every question that he gave. But then when he came out of the cave, it was reversed. Rav Pinchas ben Yair would ask the questions, and Rashbi would give 24 answers, double as many. He had reached a place of double what Rav Pinchas ben Yair had reached before he went into the cave, and was able to give the answers, 24 different answers to each question. His Torah was also in the same way, that he was elevated and reached new heights in his Torah.